Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Tonight is Wednesday, March 16th. I apologize. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know where my partner is. He was going to be doing the hosting this evening, and I'm not sure where he is. He's not here, and I was sitting logged in my alternate account waiting for the show to get started. And then all of a sudden it said, waiting for the host to call in. And I said, oh, shit, we have a problem. So I don't know where Eddie is. I hope you guys can hear me okay. I'm on a brand new headset. If it's too loud or too low, let me know. I'll fix it. And we'll get rolling along here. Hopefully Eddie will be here with us. Here, let me sounds like my microphone might be a little too high. So let me turn that down a little bit. Let me know if it's any better. And okay. Hope that's okay. Let me know in the chat room. Good evening to you guys. Now Master Brutality is telling me I'm a little low. So, hold on. Sounds fine. Yo, Frosty. Okay. Reading the chat room. Good evening to all you guys. Appreciate you guys being here. Again, sorry for the late start. Hopefully my partner will be along. I know you guys heard maybe you guys had some bad weather today. Maybe he got caught in it. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, which I know is most of you, I think you probably saw the pictures of my car. which is sitting in my driveway, semi-destroyed right now. Went out for lunch today. I wasn't 500 yards from my office, and I was going up a side street on my way to get some lunch. And a guy pulled out of a development there near my office, and I don't know what happened. I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and then the next thing I knew, I was being crunched. Plowed into my car pretty hard. You can see the picture. It's up on Facebook. Damage to the right, the passenger door, the front quarter panel, the back door. It's my passenger door is literally open. You can't even close it all the way. I mean, my car is a mess right now. So luckily, big props to a Progressive Insurance who took care of things very well. The rental car is already on its way to my house. They'll be towing it. They'll be towing my car tomorrow, so big props to Progressive for getting the job done. I do appreciate it. So we're gonna have Mitch Beck here in just about a half hour, and then usually when we get to talking with Mitch, we usually go for about an hour. And I know a lot of you guys, we got a lot to talk about. So depending on whether or not I find my partner, I had raised the question of him possibly coming back tomorrow night for maybe an hour and a half, just to make sure we get all the calls in and get everything talked about, because there's a lot going on. The Rangers signed Ryan Bourque today. I found that out about 2 minutes before we went on the air. What? Hold on a second. Let me see. Ed, let's try this. Oh, he hung up. Eddie is alive. He just tried to Skype me, but I think maybe now he'll call in on the switchboard. But anyway, Ryan Bourque was signed today. I think they gave him an AHL contract. I found out like literally 2 minutes before the show went on the air, so I didn't have the opportunity to read the details. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
The hell is happening in this place? Was I supposed to host the show?
Yes, sir. You were supposed to host the program.
I've been trying to get in for like the last couple minutes. I mean, the last 5 minutes, and it's like saying wrong host ID, PIN number. It's saying someone else is hosting the show. I thought we got hijacked. I thought Charles Lang had taken over the show. My apologies.
Okay. It's all right.
It was Block Talk Radio.
It's been one of those days. I was sitting. I signed into Block Talk under my alternate ID, the one that I use when you're hosting, so that I can still be in the chat room. And I'm sitting there, and time's ticking down. It's like 3 minutes. I'm like, man, it's not like him to not pick up. I hope he's there, and maybe he just doesn't realize I'm on the switchboard. And then it's 2 minutes, and then it's 1 minute, and I'm like, Did he think I was coming late or something? The chat room wasn't open, so I couldn't tell you I was here. And all of a sudden, it changes, and it says, waiting for host to call in. And I said, oh, shit. So I real quick logged out, logged back in, called. And as soon as I call in, the chat room pops up, and everybody's just saying, what's going on? There's no show. And then as soon as I call in, the English girl goes, your show is about to go live.
Oh, really? Good. Hey, did you notice? I just noticed I signed into the chat room, and on the right, it says Mouth Party, up to 90% off local eats. There's a little ad. I said, kind of, you know, my nickname's The Mouth, and now you got a Mouth Party. Now the party can begin. I'm here. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
So I was just regaling the audience with I think you're logged in under me now, I'm not sure, but at least as far as the chat room goes. But anyway, who cares?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you are.
I can rectify that.
Okay, I was regaling everyone with the tale of my car accident today, which was That was fun. Well, I was on my way to get lunch. I mean, I wasn't even 500 yards from my office. I had just left, and I was driving up a side street, and there's a little development on the right-hand side, and I saw the guy. There's a stop sign where you would turn from the development onto the street that I was on, and I was going like 35 miles an hour. You got to do the speed limit because the cops sit out there and just wait for employees of my company who go flying up and down that street. So anyway, so I'm driving along and I see this guy out of the corner of my eye, and I just, you know, I figure, okay, he's coming up to the stop sign. Well, I don't know if he didn't have his eyes on the road or what, because one minute I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and the next minute, bam, I mean, he just plowed into me. So, pretty extensive damage
okay?
to my car. I'm fine.
I saw the car probably pretty smashed up.
Yeah, the car's pretty damaged. I really don't know if it's gonna survive. I have a feeling it's gonna be totaled, but we'll see. But I'm fine. Me too. We're fine. And how are you, Eddie?
Wow!
Isn't that
the magic garden or
little magic garden for you? And yes, Mandar,
wow.
I did get my lunch.
Yes.
Most important.
Food will never. I said food will never take precedence. Why? Now I just logged into the Jewel Network. What is going on here? I really am having internet. But anyway, speaking of jewels, now where am I going to go with this? The New York Rangers locked up two guys today, and maybe a third on the horizon.
Yeah.
They locked up Young Taker, Dylan McIlrath. Signed him to an entry-level contract, and Ray Bourque's there, Ryan, another shorty, Zuccarello in stature, from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
To go along with Christian Thomas, who was also
I forget about that. That's good. Christian Thomas, I think Carly's got four goals.
I was just mentioning him because he's also under tall as the other ones were.
Yeah, but I'll take 54 goals. He's got 54 goals already. He might hit 60.
Yeah.
And apparently this Carl Hagelin, who I think is going to be probably the best of the bunch, and we'll find out because next week we're going to have Jess Rubenstein on, Rubenstein on. He's going to be on, and it should be it should be interesting. Tonight should be very interesting. We got Mitch Beck from Howlings.net. I don't know if he's still calling it Howlings.net since...
it is still Howlings.
Okay.
excuse me. And he's Howlings today on Twitter.
Oh, okay, cool. So I am now Ranger Crisis in the chat room. I see all the people here, the usual suspects. We're in a jubilation mode, if you will, after some two really good victories, guys. I mean, you know, that the San Jose victory, which was one I just didn't think they were going to pull out, and the Ranger, Ranger Islander victory, where the emulsification, as I put it, of the New York Islanders. So, we had that Anaheim loss. We'll try to forget about it as quickly as possible. So
that
where
Anaheim.
Do you want to start Jim, my friend. I'm so glad to be here with the chat room and the chat is the people in the chat room, the people listening at home. I'm in an extra special good mood today, and I have no idea why.
Did you get the email I sent you earlier today?
I'll look at it now.
Okay.
I'm right on top of things. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen.
It's understandable. You went out for lunch at work today, and you had a car accident, and you're off a shimmel.
Yeah. Just thought about.
All right. So we got about 15 minutes until Mitch gets here, and we'll talk to him. We'll run down the list of Whale Pack, and we'll get the latest on all of them. And, I want to talk the Anaheim game. We'll start there really quick. I just want – that game really pissed me off, and not because they lost, because I can handle when they lose. What bothered me about the Anaheim game was there was just a lack of effort. It was one of the few times this year, that I felt where they just – I didn't think the effort was there. And for a young team, I don't think there's any excuse for that.
They haven't played many bad games this year, and they got dominated. That they had no answer for that line of Getzlaff, Bobby Ryan, and Corey Perry. They were dominant, and we actually talked about it. Did we do a pregame show that night? I think yeah, and I yes. said watch out for those dudes.
Yep,
and they really just.
And Stahl and Girardi. I mean, if that wasn't the worst game they've played all year, I don't know what was.
Yeah, that was like, uh-oh. They could be really, this could be a real downturn. And I kind of felt that way in the San Jose game as well, as because, I felt they were getting outplayed at times. I felt like, wow, San Jose, now I see why they're so good. Is, they're big, they can score. Dan Boyle, of course, comes back after six games and looks like, Bobby Orr.
Right.
He's all over the act. They're dominating. And, go ahead.
Well, the San Jose game was kind of interesting because San Jose dominated the first period. And then the last couple of minutes of the period, the Rangers kind of turned it around and got the tying goal. And then the second period was just the opposite. The Rangers got the goal, got up 2-1, and dominated that period until there were about 5 minutes left. And then San Jose turned the tables and tied the game. And then in the third period, George just said it perfectly in the chat room because I said it, and I said it Saturday night. The third period, they were hanging on for dear life. Just get us to overtime. We just got to get a point out of this, and then we'll take our chances. And, look, on the road against one of the best teams in the conference, maybe that's not the worst tack to take when you're outgunned and outmanned for the most part. And it worked. And look, they got to the shootout and they won. And I'll tell you what, my wife, who, as I've mentioned before, is little more than a casual hockey fan, came out to watch the overtime with me and their shootout. And even when they won that shootout, she got up, jumped up, and started screaming. So she knew it was a big moment for them. And hey, look. It was just an interesting game, the way the ebb and flow of it. They got dominated in the first, still wound up tied. They dominated the second, still wound up tied. Like I said, I thought they hung on for dear life in the third period and took their chances.
Yeah, I fully expected them to lose that game in overtime. I really was just thinking get one point. And then once we were in the shootout, and I think they scored first in the shootout, and we kind of got behind the eight ball, and then Volsky scored, right? And then Hank made a couple saves, and then Dubinsky wins it. I was ecstatic. It was like we really stole one. I felt like we stole it, and it was very exciting, here on the East Coast. You're all bleary-eyed, and I was checking in on the open thread on BlueShirtBanner.com between periods and, chuckling about, Every guy on, you know, it's the same thing, you know. Every guy on every team is the greatest guy ever. And now Anthony Niemi and you know, I see a lot of people like Howie mentioned, I see in the chat room about San Jose. And listen, San Jose has been a perennial choker in the playoffs. But, you know, they're first in the division, I think. And, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's got to be something to be said for that. I mean,
well,
you
look
know,
at the...
and now a new goaltender, you don't know. You have a goaltender who went to the Cup last year, so.
When the,
but
I mean,
the West's tough.
But I mentioned this Saturday night, and I put it in a recap. After the game Saturday night, of the six teams that are in first place in the NHL, the Rangers have beaten five of them. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's got to count for something. The only one they haven't beat is Detroit. I don't know if there's another team in the league that could make that claim.
Yeah, no, it's certainly something to you know, it shows that they do come to play every night. And listen, I don't think they've been that embarrassing since, oh, I don't know, probably those, we talk about those two losses to Colorado where they lost big, and even that Islander loss early in the season at the Coliseum, where the first game where we all went, a bunch of us went from the group here, we went there, and so it's,
where you uttered the classic line, it's game three, Chuckles.
It's game three, yeah, game three, where I lost my camera, or
right.
It was stolen.
Right.
But, you know, so, and then last night I was very wary, and a lot of Ranger fans were saying, oh, Al Montoya, he's going to, you know, watch this idiot's going to shut us out and have his revenge on the Rangers. And, you know, it had all the earmarks of a letdown. A lot of us, you know, savvy Ranger fans, you know, been through the wars. I mean, you don't have to be that savvy to know how things go in Rangerland. We're looking for the letdown, and they came out early. They scored. I missed that goal. I was transit, as they say. You know, I have a lot of things to do. You know, I'm a busy man. Public appearances.
So. Right.
So they got out early, and then Beyond the back with two quick goals to tie it, and I was like, here we go. But it seems to me when the Islanders score against us, they score like in these, like, bunches. Like, get two or three goals in, like, a five-minute span, and then if they can save that off, they're good to go.
Right.
And what happened with that two goals there, Montoya, he didn't look that great. He didn't look terrible, but he didn't look good.
Oh, not according to the gentleman calling the game last night.
Oh, really? Oh. I heard Sanders say, "Oh, he belongs in this league."
Yeah, like, nine games. He belongs in this league, Joe. He's terrible.
Pace. I did hear that too. I think.
Oh,
yeah.
That's all they talked about. The hardworking young Islanders, Sam. There's no quitting them. They fight hard. They play hard. Al Montoya. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, I notice how they always say these things, and they're so true of the Rangers too. Like, you know, like, oh, they're a young team, but you don't hear them saying that about the Rangers. I mean, like,
right.
You know, in a lulling fashion. Well, they survived a lot of injuries, this team, but they never say, you know, the Rangers. It's never, you know, the praise is never. It should be over the top for the Rangers. And I have to make a correction from last week when we talked, and I said Chico Resch was lauding some defensemen, and said there's really none better in the league. It was actually Butch Goring and that Martinek guy.
Oh, okay.
Butch Goring said there's no better in the league than even strength and on the power play, I think, than Radek Martinek, whatever that guy's name is.
Oh.
So... He really needs a dose of realism.
Well, he's the same guy that said Franz Nielsen has the best backhand in hockey.
They said that?
That's what Goring said. He said it a couple of months ago, I heard, during the highlights. He said
wow.
Franz...
Last night, Andy McDonald is one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. Underrated? He shouldn't even be rated. overrated? He's insignificant, Andy McDonald. So, we can't get on them too much because we usually save it for when they lose. And they won, and it was glorious. It's always glorious to beat the Islanders, and I think maybe I can segue to my next rant before Mitch Beck gets on, talks about the Connecticut Whale. Andrew Gross had I don't know if you guys know this, fans. Jim let me know about this. Andrew Gross spoke with Brian McDonough about the Pop and Sucks chant. And McDonough was like a little bit miffed about what's going on. He says, that's what they're saying, Pop and Sucks? And he really doesn't understand why. He goes, the goalie? Like, he thinks it's the fans are chanting about Felix Potvin, the former Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender. And I bet you nobody on that team knows why those fans are yelling that stuff. So it has no place in the game. So stop it. Stop with the look at me. None of you watch Dennis Potvin. That's my new edict. If you saw Dennis Potvin play against the Rangers, you could scream it. But if you didn't, shut the hell up.
Or even if you saw Ulf Nielsen play for the Rangers.
Right.
Yeah.
If you know who he did it on, the situation, not Mike the situation who bombed on the comedy roast, but the situation, what happened, you're allowed to do it. But if you're just one of these look at me, I want to just say sucks like a little petulant child, then go ahead. But you're going to have the mouth to answer for him. And I'm going to be at that Montreal game Friday. All right? So you may see me scuffling in the stands if some idiot decides to pop and suck for him when I tell him to sit down. Watch
the
game. We need points.
You going to the game?
Yeah.
Who are you attending with?
Freaking ridiculous. I'm attending the game with Paulie D.
Wow.
Yes. Paulie D is coming into town, and I will be going to the game with Paulie D. I don't know if I'll be sitting with Paulie D, but we will be traveling together like birds in a feather. And Paulie D's got this whole thing where we're going to meet Chris Kostopoulos and Ron Grescher and possibly Nick Petillo before the game. It should be an interesting day with Paulie D. I may video it. My day with Paulie D. he's visiting his mom, who's his mom lives one town over from me, so he's going to be right here. So, I wish it was you, Jim. I mean, I like Paulie D, but, it's good to see the compadre.
There's only one. Hey, I'll be there next week.
Right. That's right. Next week. So I got a good doubleheader with you, too.
Yeah. Next Saturday from the Molly Wee in New York City, Blue Shirt Banner radio / birthday viewing party. Where Blue Shirt Banner turns 2 on Saturday. So we're going to celebrate next week with a little viewing party at the Molly Wee. We're getting together at 11 o'clock when the bar opens, and then 11:30 we'll do an hour show, and then the game at 1 o'clock when the Rangers take on the Bruins up in Boston. So I hope you guys can make it. We have 50 people confirmed. I think it was 50, 47, 48, 50, something like that, on the Facebook event page that Eva made up. So we should have a good crowd. What's Cutter complaining about? Oh, Jesus. This again?
I'm not even going to get it. I refuse to acknowledge that person.
All right. Mitch Beck should be here in a couple minutes. Did you get my email?
Yes, I got it. Okay. Yeah, I think I could do that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. So there you have it. Tomorrow night, we will come back on the air at 8:30 East Coast time for an hour and a half, and we'll kind of catch up on some other stuff that we want to talk about, because we do want to talk about the fact that they're raising ticket prices. We want to get into that. We want to be able to just take our time and talk about the last two games. I want to talk about Sean Avery a little bit. It's been a hot topic today. So, because usually when we talk to Mitch, we run almost the better part of an hour. So this way we'll have plenty of time for phone calls and thoughts and everything else. So Mitch should be along in a couple of minutes. So we'll come back tomorrow night at 8:30 until 10 o'clock. Hopefully you guys can join us. I'm sure Cutter will be here because he likes to complain.
Yeah. Yeah, listen. But I thought, just going back before Mitch gets here, going back to the game, I thought that was a weird scratch, the fact that that Volsky got scratched after he helped them to a victory in the shootout. That's a nice reward.
Isn't that the second time this year somebody's had a good game and then been scratched right immediately following? I can't remember who it was, but for some reason I don't think that's the first time this year it's been done. And by the way, have we on the subject of being scratched and not being scratched, have we completely resurrected Eric Christensen's career?
No. Still a bum.
You're not convinced.
I'm not giving up. If he leads us to the second round, the third round, maybe I'll change my mind. Still got 1 year on his contract. So he may be around next year. Who knows? But at the top of the show, we were talking about, you know, who the Rangers signed. And, you know, right now we're all Ranger fans are concentrated on, you know, this year and making the playoffs. But Rangers are making some, you know, they're making some moves here. I mean, they got a lot of good young players still to come. You know, I had a chance to talk to Jess a couple weeks ago, Jess Rubenstein and the Hagelin guy. I don't know if it's going to happen. Hagelin, you never know until you start really hearing these guys' names. But I'm hearing nothing but great things. As a matter of fact, I think his contract or his rights run out with the Rangers at the end of this year. And that Detroit was looking at him. The Red Wings were interested in him.
Yeah, I know Jess has been very high on Hagelin. And so has Emlich has been. Mike has been talking about him quite highly. So looking forward to talking to Jess next week. That's next Wednesday night. Jess will join us, and we'll get the skinny on all the prospects. And if you've never heard Jess before on this show, we pretty much wind Jess up and let him go.
Yeah. I don't like a lot of these guys that you'll hear. It's like they really know. I mean, they really know their stuff. But when it comes to the Rangers stuff, really, you're not going to beat me or Jim. You know, that's it. We're the best hosts on this on discussing Ranger hockey, because we are the only hosts discussing Ranger hockey. But I wish I had a rant to go on. I really don't have no rants. Quietly, we've put a, you know, what are we on, 5 out of the last 6?
Let me think. I know it's 4 out of the last 5. I know that. Well, I have a rant, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow night. We have but tomorrow night we'll have more time, and you know, and Mitch is here, so you know, I want to do it when we have time. We can talk about it and get everybody involved and people calling in because it's a hot topic. But without further ado, we'd like to welcome back to the program. He's been with us before. I believe this puts him in the 4 or 5 timers club. The one and only from Howlings.net, Mitch Beck. Mitch, good evening. Welcome back to the program. How are you?
I am pissed.
Uh-oh.
I have a rant.
Uh-oh.
Why the heck does the Rangers don't have cheerleaders? The freaking Icelanders can afford cheerleaders. And hot ones at that.
Yeah, they're just glorified strippers, Mitch.
And the problem with that would be what?
It's not good. Look, they got 4.
I still have some testosterone. I mean, I'm getting close to 50, but there's still some testosterone.
There's one ice girl for every 8 fans in that building.
Well, it's more about 1 for 1, isn't it?
It's close.
But the whole point is, I mean, the Rangers can certainly afford it.
We don't need no stinking. Look, the focus
you don't
is on
see
the product on the ice, Mitch.
It, that is the product on the ice. You know, I mean, it's something organizationally, because let me tell you something. Last year with the ECHL, the Charlotte Checkers have the Checkmates, which they've moved up to the AHL. And if any of the listeners haven't checked it out, go to the Charlotte Checkers website and look on the Checkmates, because I'm telling you this from the bottom of my you-know-what, that I'm telling you they would rate right up there with the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, with any cheerleader, any place. And I know a lot of them personally, and I'm telling you, they are. That's the way it's supposed to be done. And if you ever watch, if you ever want to spend like the $6 or $7 and watch a Checkers game, they have, it's not, I don't want to say they're like stripper poles, because they're not, but they have like in the corners, they've got like platforms for these girls to dance on, and they're there the whole game.
Wow.
And they get like 12,000, their attendance. Last year, I remember they set a record for attendance. They had something like 16,000 show up for a ECHL game. And these girls come out, there's about, I'm guessing there's 16 to 20 of them, and they come out in between periods, and they dance on the ice. And wow. I'm telling you, it's worth the price of admission just for that.
I've seen those.
Have a few beers, check out the girls. You don't even have to hand over any dollar bills.
I've seen those Checkmates. They're easy on the eyes. Yeah, they are easy on the eyes.
Yeah, and then, if the team is losing, it certainly gives you something to look at instead of staring at, you know, some drunken guy across the aisle. I mean, I'd rather look at that. You know, at least, you know, some of the guys, especially in Madison Square Garden, if things are going bad, you know, the exodus, you know, starts off pretty early. At least if things are going bad, you got that to look at. Makes the entertainment value go up.
And I just
what's
posted the link to
name? What could be a possible name for the Ranger Ice Dancers?
The Islanders.
Potential lawsuits? How about the potential lawsuits?
Isaiah's rejects.
Don't let Isaiah next to them.
Isaiah, exactly. Isaiah,
call
Isaiah,
them Islanders.
The inmates. boys, what's new?
How you been?
Nothing. How you been? Long time no talk.
Well, you know, the telephone works.
Mitch, they're asking in the chat room, your Twitter is at Howlings Today, right?
Howlings Today, correct.
Okay.
We're doing really well. I got to tell you, last I checked, like 866 followers, I think, which is something like that.
Very good.
Which is very good. I'm very happy about that. We've got, you know, and I'd like to see it, you know, compete there with Charlie Sheen. So I'm going to get drunk and get on the internet and start talking about how that I'm, you know, a master warlock. I think
Mitch
that's
Beck,
the answer.
Mitch Beck, duh, winning.
Winning, duh, winning. You know, that's my luck. It would be Mitch Beck, duh, married.
Yeah, that would be mine too.
I'll have my T-shirt, my little T-shirt, married with a question mark.
Nice.
But it's
so,
nothing else. You know, same stuff, different day.
I wanted to know, Mitch, did you attend the outdoor game over there? I heard it was really cold.
Yes, it was. It was. You've heard of the what was it? The Ice Bowl. It was at just before Super Bowl III or something.
Right.
In Green Bay, it was right there. It was about, you know, they said it was 15 degrees outside, and with the wind chill, it was like -5. And
wow!
It was nasty. You know, my wife and kids came to the game, and they lasted about 5 minutes. And it was bitter.
But I heard it was a pretty good show. They had the Hanson brothers were there.
I met them in the locker room. And I'll tell you, you know, people that know me know that I have a museum of Rangers memorabilia. I have about 3,000 pieces, that most of them are signed. And I collect the things that I've collected over my career, mostly Rangers stuff. But I also collect 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey things. And the first thing that I bought when I started collecting things is the McFarland of the Hanson brothers. and it's got a whole backdrop of them, you know, it goes three things that interconnect with a back wall and everything.
Right, yeah.
And that was like the first thing I bought. So for me to get a chance to actually meet them was quite a thrill. They're fun, and they were very, very funny. I mean, they were really entertaining. And the only thing that wasn't entertaining was walking in the locker room and seeing Brad Park naked. That was not entertaining. I've been having nightmares about it ever since.
Wow.
Brad doesn't look like he did when he was a young man. Let me put it that way.
And you know this?
That what he was like when he was a young man? He's about 20 years older than me, dude.
Well, I mean,
losing.
You're referring to his nakedity.
I'm referring to the fact that his stomach weighs more than my whole body.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's a heavy dude. But it was a thrill, though, seeing the starting lineup with Brian Leach and Brad Park both on the back line was kind of cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That was kind of interesting. I mean, there were, I think, 15 players on the ice that played for the Rangers at one time or another. So it was a lot of guys around, and it was fun. Except, you know, I was fortunate. I was indoors, and because of my relationship with the Whale and whatnot, they gave me, like, the front row of the press box, so I had the closest seats. And it was, even with the glass, the cold was coming through the glass. And it was nasty. And like I said, my kids made it about 5 or 10 minutes outside. And then they spent, you know, because I couldn't get them into the building. So they spent about an hour and a half in my car watching a movie. And then I was able to arrange for them to come in. You know, but it was nasty. It was real bad. It would have been interesting had the weather been nice, or, you know, just pleasant. You know, it would have been a lot of fun, but it was so bitter cold. And then when you're standing in the entranceway, if you go to howlings.net and go back to that date when they had it, I interviewed Leachy along with everybody else, and I videotaped it. So, I mean, as you can see, he's standing where he's standing, and as he's talking, the breath is, you know, you're seeing his breath. And it was nasty, even indoors with the door open.
Hmm.
And, you know, it was an incredible experience. It was a lot of fun. Would I do it again? Only if it was warm. But it was an interesting experience nonetheless, and it would have been better if the Whale had won. But... you know, it was an interesting game nonetheless.
Good. I'll have to check out that video. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I check it out. Well, what I did was, you know, because it's funny, I sat next to Jesse Spector for that game.
Right.
And, you know, he and I had been emailing and communicating for a while, but we'd never met. So I got to know him real well at that game, and he's a really terrific guy. And I told him, I flat out ripped him off. You know, I love the fact that on his blog that he puts the pregame and the postgame video.
Oh, with the flip, yeah.
You know, of the full postgame, pregame, and postgame with Tortorella.
Yeah, yeah.
I absolutely love that. So I said, you know what? People should see, you know, Kenny the same way. And I asked Kenny. It's actually kind of funny. I walked up to Kenny, and I said, listen, I'm trying to rip off Jesse Spector. I said, is it okay with you if I bring a video camera and tape it? And he said, I don't care. He says, I know not, you know, not to say anything stupid. And, you know, so it was good. So ever since then, I've been doing the same thing. I put the post-game, you know, the post-game interview whenever I go,
yeah,
which I'm at every home game, and I've been going to more and more of the away games. I was just at Worcester this past weekend. You know, I try and get to as many of them as I can. And if I'm not there at the game, then I'm watching it and blogging from there.
Cool. Yeah, those videos he does of Tortorella, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago.
Jesse's a terrific guy.
We asked him about it, and he said that Tortorella kind of gave him, what did he say, Eddie? That he gave him, like, a hard time about it at first. And then
he
now
doesn't
he
like it. From what I've been told,
now he busts
like
his balls about it.
Yeah, he says he thinks it's kind of creepy. is what Jesse told me. I asked him, I said, did you ask for permission or just start doing it? He says, of course I asked for permission. I said, well, what did Tortorella say? He says he thought it was kind of creepy. I said, that's funny.
Yeah.
You can see how it could be a little bit like a stalker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that little camera.
Yeah, but...
But it's great. And I think it adds so much to understanding as to what's really in Tortorella's mind, where things are at. I think it gives you, rather than the homogenized version that you get on television, you get the full impact when he loses his temper, you know, when he's being a regular guy. You know, I mean, you get the whole thing, and I think that's great. I commend Jesse, and I said it to his face. It was a very, very smart idea, very interesting idea. It draws traffic, does everything it's supposed to do, and it really informs the fans. And that's ideally what it's all about. And so that's why I'm constantly looking for things to do to add to Howlings to make it, you know, more interesting for the reader. What stuff would I want to hear? For example, when you read most postings, you read the quotes, you know, that the reporter puts out there, and you don't know if word for word that was taken or how the words were manipulated. How many times have we all heard, not just in sports, but in life, oh, I was misquoted.
Right.
You know, so what I do is now I post all the interviews. I use the quotes and I do whatever I do in the regular story, but then you can, you know, there's a lot lost in the translation, just as I'm sure every single person here who's listening and you guys have had a conversation, an email conversation, where you thought somebody was pissed off and, you know, they weren't, and you're responding to them based upon you thought they were pissed off because you can't get the nuances of language, just the words, you know, when you're reading it. And I thought that would add a dimension. So everybody that I interview, I post the full interview.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
So it gives you the nuances, what they were really saying, what's really going on in the locker room. And I just thought it was, you know, I'm always looking for new things to add. And that's why I try and make it, we're very happy with the site.
Yeah, it's very good. Howlings.net, check it out. Now, speaking about Ken Janander, he's had a kind of a tumultuous season this year. A lot of guys being brought up. They're making the playoffs. They're playing well. What's the general mood of the team right now? Where are they as a team? Let's go with that first.
Well, as a team, I got to give Kenny a lot of, you know, kudos and tip of the hat, because Kenny has had a lot of injuries. He has had a lot of call-ups because of the Rangers. He's had to do with a lot of guys that were from the ECHL and bring them up, and he's created a lot of guys that are good players. Blake Parlett, who I just posted Bruce Burlett's interview with him today, Blake has played very, very well. And there's a lot of similarity between him and Dan Girardi. And, you know, he's done very, very well. A lot of these guys have come in and filled in and done very well for short periods of time. And that's Kenny. That's Kenny and J.J. Daigneau and Patty Bowler, you know, working with the guys. If you look at, you know, Chad Johnson has had he's a very, very good guy, but he's had a very, very up and down season, and he'd be the first one to tell you that. He's been very, very good and very, very bad. And when he got called up, it created the opportunity for Dove Grummet Morris, who has been playing sensational in his time that he's been here, and for Cam Talbot, who has also been very good. The two of them together, I think, in 20-some-odd games, I could tell you exactly, hold on, but between the two of them, you know, they've played 30 games, and between the two of them have lost 8.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Pretty
sure is.
You know, so, you know, I don't have a problem with the way, well, you know, that's not counting shootout losses. He could put in another 3 for that. But still, that's 11 out of 30. That's not too shabby. And, you know, I like them. I think they're both much different type of goaltenders. Chad Johnson gives up a lot of rebounds. You know, a lot of times they're controlled, but a lot of times they go right back up the crease and into the slot. These two guys tend to swallow pucks, and I like that. I don't want to see rebounds. I'm one of those guys that the only thing a rebound can do is hurt you, and I would much rather take a chance with a face-off. And especially when you got a guy like Chris Newberry, who is just sensational on faceoffs. You know, Brody DuPont, who we've had, I think we had him on once when I brought him on. Didn't I? Didn't I bring Brody on once?
I think Brody has been on.
Yeah, I think I brought Brody on once.
Yeah.
But
maybe, yeah.
Brody is actually very, very good on faceoffs also. And they've got some good guys. Jeremy Williams is very good. They've got just terrific talent. If you want to talk about a subject that can get your your viewers and listeners and readers and whatever fired up, is I happen to be a very, very pro Wade Redden guy. He has been an amazing contributor to the Whale and what he has done. He could very easily have come in here and mailed it in and been a cancer in the locker room and been a problem. And literally from the minute he was told that he was going down, he called Ken Jernander immediately after that and said, listen, I want you to know I'm coming here to play. I'm not coming here to be a problem, and I'll do anything that's asked of me. And he has taken every single one of these young defensemen, all of these young defensemen that you're seeing, Ryan McDonough, Michael Delzato, well, Sauer wasn't here, but any of those guys that have gone up and played, every single one of them to a man will tell you that they are better players because of Wade Redden. In terms of his accessibility with me and with the other members of the press, he answers every question. Anything that's needed of him, he's been willing to do. He's been playing very well. And he's answered every question, no matter what has been asked of him. He's answered it. And I give nothing but props to him.
Now, there was some speculation earlier last week, I read, that was rumored that Wade may opt out of his contract next year to try to make it back into the NHL. Have you talked to him about that?
Yeah, if you go to Howlings, and if you look up Wade Redden on Howlings, I did an exclusive interview with him, and I asked him that flat out. I just said to him, I said, that's an awful lot of money to walk away from. And he gives a very, very good, honest, and detailed answer. And just to give you the Reader's Digest version of it, he said that he's been very fortunate in his career, and he's made a lot of money. He's made more money than he needs. So for him, it's not an issue of how much money he makes. It's an issue of what's best for him and for his career. He thinks there's going to be a couple of opportunities for him in the NHL next season. You know, I don't think he feels he's going to get the kind of money that he's been getting or anywhere near that. But in his attitude, he doesn't need it. Between you and me and all the listeners, I think that there's a spot in the NHL for Wade Redden. I don't think it's on a top line somewhere. But I think as a veteran presence, I mean, take your New York Islanders, for example. If they paid Wade Redden $1 million a year, gave him a two-year deal at $1 million per, or $1 million with incentives, I think he'd jump at that at a split second. And they could use
him. I think he could be a sixth defenseman on,
a five or a six someplace.
Yeah.
He's not going to be on Detroit or any of the upper echelon teams. But there will be teams on the second tier or the lower tier that could use some veteran leadership, that could use a good 6th/7th defenseman. I mean, Wade has never been known for his tremendous defensive prowess, but he can still bring the puck up. He can still make good passes. He still has a good shot. And he's played very well, and he's a good team guy. So, I mean, there's definite advantages to having somebody like Wade Redden on your roster. I know, he flat out says in my interview with him that this was a bad fit for him. It was bad all the way around. It wasn't the right fit for what the Rangers needed. He tried too hard, and that took him off of his game. He wasn't able to be the kind of player that he wanted to be. And he said, quite frankly, all the fans getting on him bothered him. I mean, how many players are going to be that honest to say that? I don't know too many.
Well, he's saying it afterwards. I mean,
Yeah, well, what is he going to come out and say it during when he's there?
I mean, he was terrible.
I'm stealing your money. No.
Yeah, well, he really looked at it. And you know what? And I don't look at it that way either. Let me ask anybody who's out there that hates Wade Redden, if they would have taken a $6.5 million contract for 5 years or 6 years or whatever it was that he got, how can you fault him for that?
I have no hatred for Wade Redden.
A lot of people do.
It's not personal. It's just business. The guy was.
But who wouldn't take that money? You want to get mad at somebody? Get mad at Glenn Sather for offering it to him. You know, but how can you possibly be mad at Wade or any listener or viewer? How could any fan be mad at Wade Redden?
I'm mad at Wade Redden because he didn't put forth a good effort as a Ranger.
He did put forth a good effort. Let me ask you a question.
I'm not going to get into the debate about Wade Redden, Mitch. But in his exit interview, Tortorella told him, listen, you're not going to be back. And he isn't back. And I agree with you on the Sather thing. Sather called him the best first passer in the league when he signed him. I mean,
he also said, because I was in on that conference call when he had that call, that he felt that Wade Redden had a lot of game left in him. And, you know, he wasn't dissuaded from the fact that he hadn't played well. He felt it was – if you want to fault probably Glenn Sather's biggest positive as a human being is his biggest negative as a general manager – is that Glenn Sather believes in second chances. He believes that people should get a second chance. If you look since he's been here, the number of players that were reclamation projects that he brought to this team that he thought still had some gas in the tank, that could still make a difference and contribute. That's an admirable trait as a person, that you say, I'm going to give somebody a chance to prove themselves. And, I mean, Vinny Prospel is a living example of somebody that he took a chance on, and it's paid off. There are rare cases where that happens, you know, but there are also a boatload of them where they don't. And so as a human being, it's a great thing to see that Glenn Sather has that in his heart. As a business owner or running a business, that's where you got to question it and say, what's the deal with that?
I have no ill feelings toward Wade Redden. God bless him. I never want to see him in a Ranger uniform again.
He doesn't want to be in a Ranger uniform again. The point what I'm trying to make is he said it wasn't a fit. He said he didn't go for the money. He went for the opportunity.
All right, let's get off Wade Redden. And I know you say, Mitch, I understand. Let's get to some guys that I'm always interested in.
I always knew that about you, Henny. I knew that you were interested in guys.
Listen, you know, after a couple beers, that's what happens.
Exactly.
Now,
you got to do what you got to do.
You know, Dale Weiss came up for a while, and he didn't look all too great. I know he's a personal favorite of yours, and you're
right.
Really kind of a for Dale. And he's done pretty good in down with the Vale. Have you talked to Dale, and how does he feel about, you know, being up for a bit and then being sent down? Where's he at?
Dale is a personal favorite of mine. I like Dale quite a bit. Dale has some growing up to do, but Dale is a very, very talented player. I don't know if Dale is a fit for this organization in terms of what they want out of him and what they're looking for. Dale's game is very, very similar to Ryan Callahan's. It's very similar. If you know much about Dale, if you've watched Dale play very much, it's very similar. When Dale comes up to New York, he's put in a totally different role. You know, he's getting fourth line minutes. He's getting 5-6 minutes a game, 8 minutes a game, something like that. I think the most he played was 10. You know, I don't even think he played 10, actually. So there's not much he's going to get a chance to do in 10 shifts in a game. You know, he's just not going to get a chance to do that. You got to earn it. I understand that. He understands that. You know, it's just, it's a very, very difficult position to be in. And the Rangers, there's some things they like about his game. There's some things I think they don't. And he's made some foolish mistakes. He's got to learn, you know, some of the maturity of, you know, late in game penalties are not a good idea. You know, there's some things every player, every young player has got to learn certain discipline and certain things in order to get up there and stay up there. And I think he's still going through that process. Do I think he's an NHL player? Without question. Do I think he's going to be a very good NHL player? Also, without question. But is he going to be that way for the New York Rangers? If I were betting, I'd say no. My guess is, if you know, and this is not coming from him or from anybody else, it's just my guess, is he probably gets dealt in the summer. If the Rangers do make a deal, Dale will be part of it. And the reason for that is other teams know Dale is pretty good.
I think they just have a logjam of type of players like Dale is. I mean, he's, you know, he's a grinder, and you know, right now the Rangers.
Well, no, see, that's where you're wrong. He's a grinder now. That's the role they put him in. But Dale has a lot of offensive upside. I mean, Dale has. Hold on, I know he scored the other day. Dale has.
He's got 14 goals, 31
yeah,
points,
like
in 34 games.
I'm trying to look at how many games he's played.
Not many.
14 goals.
In 34
games.
Right.
That's not too bad. You know, and he's been out a lot. He's had a lot of injuries this year and been sick a few times. So he, when he gets in, he makes an impact. He has offensive upside. And because of the situation that the Rangers are in, I mean, he's not going to get a top two line. Chance is not a chance in hell that that's going to happen. But, you know, do I think he's a top two line guy? Probably not. Do I think he's a third line guy that can get in there and score? Yeah, I do. I think on the right team, in the right situation, I think he does. Just like I was a big, big proponent of saying that P.A. Parento was an NHL player. And people told me I didn't know what I was talking about. They're saying his skating is terrible and all this, that. And the other thing, Tortorella couldn't stand his skating. And he's not a particularly great skater. But he's a very talented offensive player. And he's proved it. He's got, I think he has 20 goals already. So, I mean, he's playing on a lousy team, and he's still got 20 goals. That's not nothing to sneeze at. So, I mean, I was right about that, and I'm telling you, I'm right about this. Dale is an NHL player, and Dale will score 15 to 20 in the NHL for the right team. I don't think it's going to be the Rangers if I were betting. I think the Rangers feel they got enough of that kind of player, and that the ones that they have, they think, are probably better than he is. That's probably what they think. I've never asked anybody, but that would be my guess. It's either that, or they think he is that good, and they're just concerned about some of the issues that I mentioned earlier, of taking late and bad penalties, and just getting more discipline in his game. It could be very easily that, and when they see that, then they'll bring him up and give him the opportunity that he's earned. It could very well be that. And with a lot of young players, if there's one thing that I've learned since I've been covering these teams, some of them get hit with that buzzer as to when it happens at different times. Some guys get it very, very early. Look at Ryan McDonagh. He's there for 6 months. He gets it. Dale, it's taken longer. Other players, it took a lot longer. PA, it took a lot longer for him to get to understand what it's going to take to play in the NHL. And now he's doing it. So everybody's different. And I genuinely believe that when Dale gets that aspect, when that light switch goes on, he's going to be a very, very good NHL player. I believe that. He's a great skater. He hits like a ton of bricks. He's not afraid to drop the gloves, as you know. You know, and he's got offensive upside. If you remember, even
the
game.
Not afraid to get punched in the face, too.
What?
He got clobbered in some of those fights.
He didn't get clobbered. He got hit once. I thought he beat the snot out of Danny Carcillo. There were a couple. If you go back to those fights, he handled himself just fine. So, I mean, he got beaten up once.
I know.
My whole point is he's a young player with a lot of upside.
Everybody's got a different learning curve, and you're right. I think I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think his future's with another team, especially with the Rangers drafting guys like Ethan Werrick and those guys coming into the system who I think will be like a Dale Weiss type of player.
They've got a lot of them. See, the problem with the Rangers, and I thought it was very, very well written today. I'm trying to remember who I read that said it. Larry Brooks said it. That it, for a team that is very limited on top-tier talent, which is the problem that the Rangers have. The Rangers are a team of grinders. There's really you see how desperate they are because of how little Marian Gaborik is doing. They just don't have a lot of offensive guys. They have a lot of second, third-line guys that are primarily grinders, 15 to 20 goal-a-year guys. That's what they've got. They don't have any explosive breakaway players, and neither do the Whale. The Whale are the same thing.
I think it is kind of a mirror image between the two teams.
Neither team can win at home. Neither team wins at home. Both play the same kind of game. And that's why they're so interchangeable. That's why Tortorella, when he talks about, the Whale players come up here and they fit right in, because they're all the same kind of player. They're playing the same system. At the same thing, and look at the Whale. The Whale are fighting their rear ends off to try and stay in the playoffs. So are the Rangers. It's exactly the same thing. It's because they're all the same kind of players. There's no top-level talent. And the only top-level offensive talent that the Whale had, which was Matt Zuccarello, is up with the Rangers. So
that's debatable. We'll get to that. Now let's talk about some of the biggest plus players on the team. Pavel Valentenko. Every Ranger fan loves Valentenko. Give me some good news about Valentenko, Mitch.
He's got a gorgeous girlfriend.
Here you go with the chicks again. Let's just keep it hockey related.
Pavel is going to be an NHL player. I don't think he's there yet. He gets burned a lot. But it's not burned a lot because he's incompetent. It's burned a lot because he's learning the game. He takes chances, and he tries things, and he gets caught out of position a lot. So he's got a shot. I'm telling you, I would put it on tier with a Chris Pronger, that kind of a thunderbolt from the point. I mean, that's, as a Ranger fan, that's what I'd be keeping my breath for, is having a guy that has that kind of a hammer, which he definitely has. He's got speed. He's a good player. He's somebody the Rangers, I guarantee you, is going absolutely nowhere. They are going to hold on to him and ride him out and see what he does. The one that you want to talk to, and I've talked with Mark Messier about him a number of times, the one that the organization likes the most is Tommy Kondratik. They love him there because, according to Mark Messier, he said he's the fastest defenseman he's ever seen.
Wow, Tommy can Paul skate. Coffey, so Thomas Kondratik is faster than Paul Coffey. I love it.
He said he's the fastest skater of the defenseman he's ever seen. Yeah, and Tommy can fly.
Messier is not GM material.
Now, the problem with Tommy is Tommy's not very physical. He'll get involved, but he had a fight earlier this year, and it looked like, hell unleashed. He just exploded on this guy. He'd had enough, and he just beat the living snot out of somebody. But, Tommy, I think, has got some upside, too. Tommy doesn't have near the shot that Valentenko has, but he has a good accurate shot, which, some people will argue with you. I'd rather have a guy that doesn't hit it quite as hard but puts it on net every time than have a guy that, has a hammer but can't get it on net all the time. What good does it do you if it just smashes windows? And Valentenko's got to learn to get it on net more. But when he does, it's kind of comical. the goalie up in Worcester this past weekend was Carter Hutton, and there was one shot that Valentenko took, and it made him, when it hit him, it made him back up. And those are the kind of things that when you see it, is the thing that when you're a Ranger fan, you go, woo, we need to see that in New York. Because I can't remember a Ranger that's had a kind of hammer that, that Valentenko has. But
I was
still,
a little
he's
surprised
learn.
To see him with a, I was going to say, I'm a little surprised he only has two goals. Is that because he's been had trouble with the accuracy?
Somewhat with the accuracy, and the other thing is, every range, what is every Ranger defenseman have in common? None of them shoot the puck.
Right. Well, Brian McCabe, I guess, now.
Yeah, well, McCabe shoots the puck occasionally, but I'm saying, what do all of them have that people have been running around for years saying, how come he doesn't shoot the puck? How come this guy doesn't shoot the puck? Well, that's the same problem with Valentenko. How come he doesn't shoot the puck? He's got a thunderbolt. I've asked it to him about 25 times. You know,
he's
I don't
plus
know.
17. That's good news, plus 17. And second on the team in plus minus, I know I wanted to get to him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Russian battleship, Evgeny Grachev. Mitch, tell me something good about Evgeny Grachev, please.
He should be in the ECHL.
No.
Evgeny Grachev is closer to being an ECHL player than he is an NHL player. I am not the person that you're looking for. Exactly.
That's
I'm telling
told
you,
the
you
last
I am
time
not
you
a fan
too.
Of Evgeny Grachev at all.
I think you told us the exact same thing.
What's your problem with Evgeny Grachev?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the guy in the Rangers uniform. He goes up and down his wing. He's defensively responsible. He's a plus 16 during the AHL. And you're telling me
look at the lines. Look at the lines that he's been playing on. Look at what, and he's not on the ice in key times. In key defensive situations, he is not on the ice. He is not. I'm telling you. You mark my words. He's not an NHL player. He's not even close. He gets knocked off his skates nonstop. He is lazy as can be. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I've seen him play every game of his career, and I'm telling you, the guy doesn't have a heart. He doesn't play with heart.
He's approached Evgeny about this. Have you interviewed him? Is he fluent in English yet?
He's not very fluent. I mean, you could talk to him a little bit. It's sort of like putting your head in a meat grinder. You know, when you're trying to talk to him about things, he's not a bad kid.
Eddie, do you realize we have not heard Mitch really speak ill of a whale player other than Donald Brashear? Other than Donald Brashear.
I don't have anything bad to say about Evgeny Grachev as a person.
Well, no,
he's a very nice person. I just don't like him as a hockey player. I don't think he's good enough. I think he is a career AHL/ECHL player. That's what I think. Now, he's still young. We were talking about it earlier, that the light switch can go off or go on. And that's entirely possible. But I don't think he's that good. I'm not a big fan of plus minus as a thing of indicating about a player anyway. You can get false positives. You can also get false negatives of a guy that's just getting on the ice when a goal scores and you got a minus and you didn't do anything. You know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of that. I want to see the fact that he scored, what, three goals in one game, and then he's had three in the last 18. I want to see the fact that he had 38-some-odd games or something like that. I think the streak was at one point between the end of last year and the beginning of this year was something like 40-some-odd games he hadn't scored.
But I've seen the guy play in the NHL. He played eight games up here this year.
How many goals did he have?
He got 4 minutes per game.
How many shots on goal did he have?
Zero.
0.0.
Right. By the way, let me just.
Down his wing. He was defensively responsible. He threw some checks. He didn't look like a lazy guy to me. I don't get that. That whole
watch
lazy
his game,
Russian
Eddie.
Thing.
Watch his game. Watch him on AHL Live, and you tell me if you think he's a hard go-getter. The only thing that they've done that's been able to help him come out of being completely comatose is that they put him on the penalty kill. And he had a bunch of good games after that because he said he felt like he was more involved in the game. And after that, it doesn't work anymore. He's back to playing the same game he played before. He's okay on the penalty kill. He's all right. Yeah, but he's nothing special. You know what cracks me up? You want to know if you want to hear a funny thing? This is an actual rumor that I've heard from more than one source. Is at the beginning of last season that Glenn Sather had a trade in place where he was going to trade straight up Evgeny Grachev for Steven Stamkos. It was a done deal until the owner of the Buccaneers, listen to me now, the Lightning got wind of it. He said, are you out of your mind? And he put a stop to it, but it was a done deal. That would have been the biggest robbery in the history of sports.
I wouldn't do it now. I love Grachev.
How many games have you seen him play?
8.
Okay, I've seen him play 88. And I'm telling you, he is not the player you think he is.
They don't call you the Russian battleship. They don't give you a nickname unless you're good in this league.
The Russian battleship has been
sunk. That's
what
Eddie calls him.
He's been sunk by a truth torpedo.
All right, let me just throw this out since we're scoreboard watching. Third period, 13 minutes to go. Toronto 3, Carolina 1.
There you go.
All right, so what have we learned so far? Redden is a wonderful AHL guy.
Charlotte has the best cheerleaders.
Grachev sucks. The Charlotte Checkers are hot.
Wait a minute. Let me back up. I wouldn't say he sucks. I just don't think he's an NHL player. I'll put it that way. I don't think he's an NHL player. Not yet.
All right. So Wade Redden is the best passer in the AHL. Grachev is not ready for the NHL. Valentenko is a keeper. Chad Johnson's up and down. What else? All right. So what about Delzato? Now I know he's hurt.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Mike is, I fully expected him to come in here and be really, really arrogant. I don't know why. I had no basis for it whatsoever. I'd never met him before. I'd never spoken to him before. I just had that preconceived notion for some reason. And he's a cocky kid, which I think is great. But at the same time, he's actually a lot of fun to talk to. He's answered, I've got a bunch of interviews that I've done with Delzato. He answers questions also. He's been very truthful and honest about his situation down here. He has a very good attitude, and he's been trying really, really hard. There's times where he's making the same kind of mistakes, but I happen to subscribe to John Tortorella's safe as death. You can't constantly be playing here. Let me make the shortest little tiny pass right in front of me and have no guts. And Delzato will, if he sees something, he'll jump on it. And I'm not even talking about just the girls at the bar. I'm talking about some plays that, on the ice. Where's my thumb bump? You giving me that before. But anyway.
Give him a rim shot. Nice shot.
Yeah, my little rim shot. Thank you. But I think he'll spend the rest of the year here, because anyway, he's got still a couple more weeks to go before he recovers from the broken finger. But I think he's going to be down here the rest of the year. What I'm really excited about is Dylan McIlrath and Ryan Bourque, who were both signed today. And there's a very, very good chance that both of them will be here, if not, this weekend, certainly by next week. And I'm very excited about seeing the two of them play. I mean, I saw Ryan Bourque play, obviously, as most people did in the juniors, World Juniors. And he's a very, very exciting player to see. And I'm looking forward to watching him play. Same thing with McIlrath, to quote Carpi, he's a monster. And I want to see him play. And, it's going to be very, very interesting because, as we all know, the Rangers are not going deep in the playoffs. Getting in the playoffs and making it past one round will be a major, major accomplishment for this team. And, you know, they should be very, very proud if they get even that far. But I want to see the Whale hold out long enough, if they can put it together enough, that they bring back McDonough and Matt Zuccarello, who they put on their clear day list. So the plan is there. If the Whale is still playing and the Rangers are not, the two of them are going to play. If they do that, that is going to be a major power boost for this team, and they got a lot of talent. And if they can put it together and stay healthy, this team could go very deep. And there's a lot of talent. It's a very good room. You don't have that cliquish kind of thing in the room. Everybody tends to get along really, really well. You got a great mix of kids. You know, they're a great group to be around. I thoroughly enjoy it. You know, it's a lot of work to go in there and do howlings, and it takes an awful lot of time. But when you're around such great people all the time that you really enjoy, who are so cooperative and intelligent and have a lot to contribute, it makes it fun. It doesn't seem like you're working. And that's one of the great benefits of doing this. And, you know, it's just a good group. And I think with some help, if McElrath is able to play that kind of physical game at this level and come in and do some damage, if Ryan Bourque can bring some of the offensive skill and score some goals, this is going to be a dangerous team, because that's really what they need. They need a physical presence, and they need some more goal scoring. If they could do that, then you bring in Ryan McDonough, or you bring in Ryan McDonough and Matt Zuccarello, this team could go the whole way. So there's a lot of talent. As a Ranger fan, you've got to be encouraged by what they have there. There's a lot of ability, and there's a lot of future. And then you got to add Chris Kreider, who's not going to play this year. I believe he has a broken jaw. But he's a super talented young man. I don't think he'll play here. I think he's going to make the Rangers next year, if I were guessing.
I think that's what the Rangers kind of have. They're kind of intending for
him.
No,
that's what they want.
Still eligible for, yeah. I would like to see him play another year in college, but that's usually not how it works with
the
Rangers.
You know, I'd like to, personally, I'd like to see the big question is, I think what they could do with Kreider easily is what they did with McDonough. Bring him down, sign him, let him play in Hartford for half the season, and then, you know, getting used to the pro game, and then bring him up to New York. I think that would be, it worked extremely well with McDonough, and I think, you know, McDonough hasn't surprised anybody. You know, I mean, if people even down here, we knew he was talented. And every single game he was getting better. Every game, you'd watch him, and he's you know, the first few games he was atrocious. But you got to expect that. And he would just the type of player when he was down here that he would make a mistake in one game and get burned and then never do it again. He would have a different area of his game where it would get exposed. But now it's at this point now where clearly he has no business being down in the AHL anymore. He's an NHL player. And I think the same would come true with Kreider. I think Kreider needs to get used to the NHL game, or the professional game, the adjustments that need to be made. He'll have some holes in his game when he first gets there. And give it a couple of months. Ken Janander is a very, very good coach. And he knows how to produce NHL players. You know, if you talk to John Tortorella, look at the amount of times he has complimented the job that Kenny's done. And J.J. Daniel, in my opinion, without question, is going to be an NHL head coach at some point. And, you know, they've got good coaching down there. Patty Bowler's a great guy, knows what he's talking about. And Kenny knows what he's talking about. So, I think they're in good hands.
The only thing I think about Kreider is I think he stayed in school another year. I think that's what his family wants, and I think he's going to stay there.
There's a good chance of that. I wouldn't be surprised, but you know what? I think it would be a mistake. I happen to be on the side of the Rangers in this one, because what happens if what happened to him happened, what happened to Hugh Jessamine happens to him? What if he hurts himself really bad and he doesn't get the chance to play in the NHL? He's proven all he's going to prove at the college level.
He's you said Hugh Jessamine, and all of our listeners' ears just started bleeding.
What do you mean?
Hugh Jessamine.
Let me tell you something. I've known Hugh since almost the day he got drafted.
Oh, here we go.
He's a great kid. And I'm going to tell you, there was nobody that was happier for him than when he got called up than me. Because that terrible freaking thing that was hanging over his head for the last 6 years or 8 years or whatever it was, it's finally lifted. Nobody can hold that on him anymore. And it wasn't his fault that he was drafted in the first round. He shouldn't have been picked in the first round. The Rangers rushed him out of college, which is the argument if you're a Kreider fan, why you don't want him to come out of college so soon. But I think he's proven everything he can prove at college. Hugh didn't. I don't think Hugh was ready, and I think if you talk to Hugh privately, he would tell you that. He should have stayed one more year. And he came off a very, very bad ankle injury, and they rushed him back past it. And I don't think he was ready for it. And I'm just glad that stigma is off of him now. Had he been a second or a third-round draft pick, nobody would have said a word.
Absolutely true.
But the fact that he was a first-round pick, and I think he was picked 12th, I think. I don't know off the top of my head, but I think it was 12th. And
that
the Rangers traded up to get him. I think that stigma was over his head and the pressure was on him more than he was ready to handle. And I think it affected him. I just do. And
yes.
I think I don't want to see that same thing happen to Kreider, which would be your argument, is why he should stay in school another year. But at the same token, if he gets injured like Hugh did in college, how pissed off are Ranger fans going to be that they don't get to see Chris Kreider in a Ranger uniform, or it's going to be even longer because he's going to have to recover for that much more?
Right.
I just think he's proven all he can prove. You can go and get a degree at any time. How many chances are you going to get to sign a contract for $2 million a year? You know, or 1.5 or whatever it is that he's going to get. You know, I just think, to me, it's silly. If he were my son, that's what I would be telling him. You can go to school in the off season. Finish your degree. It's important. But signing a gigantic contract that you can be set for life, that's more important. And if it turns out that you hit one of these things where you're actually as good as people think you are, and now you're making $5, $6, $7 million a year, you can buy a college. You know, and to me, that
you can buy the Islanders.
Exactly, at this point. But I think that's more important. If they were my son, that's what I would tell him. I would tell him, you know what, go back to school in the summer. Just promise me you're not going to give up on going to school, that you'll finish
right
what you started, and go and sign a gigantic contract and get set for life. That's my advice. I know because he's going to call me right after we get off the phone and ask me.
There you go. All right, well, Mitch, we've come to the end of our time, but it's been a pleasure, buddy. We appreciate you coming back on.
Anytime. You just pick up the phone and call me. You know where to find me.
All right, we'll do. Maybe we'll talk to you after the playoffs.
Anytime. You just ring me up. I'm here.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good night.
Good night, boys.
Take it easy. All right, Mitch Beck from Howlings. There you have it. We got about 35 minutes to go, and we will be back tomorrow night at 8:30 for an hour and a half special show, so we can fit in all your phone calls and whatever else we want to talk about tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we'll talk about Sean Avery. We'll talk about the ticket prices going up. Tomorrow night's gonna be a little more rant. I think ranting and raving tomorrow night.
Oh yeah.
tonight's all positive vibes. Tomorrow night I think we'll have to get a little brass. Tomorrow night's brass tacks.
I got to hear how Wade Redden is a great human being, and it was a bad fit. And I got to hear how Hugh Jessamine is finally unburdened with the whole thing. And the only one guy I wanted to say one cock thing about is Grotchev, and I got nothing. But that's the way it goes. It's not that I wanted to hear anything about Grotchev, but don't give me anything about Wade Redden. He had, 2 years here? The guy looked like a human pylon. It was terrible. He is the worst defenseman I've ever seen live in a Rangers uniform.
You got to use you gotta use Stanford Bayside's term. The guy's a lamppost back there.
Yeah.
The guy's a friggin' lamppost. One of these days I'm gonna have to find that clip of Stan saying that. The guy's a friggin' lamppost back there.
And you, Jessamyn? I have no love. What kind of a love do I have for you, Jessamyn? what are you gonna do?
Look.
Everybody has different opinions. You know what I'm saying? I gotta tell you.
He's the one guy out there covering the whale. His opinions are different than other people. What are you gonna do? Why bring him on?
You know, you respect. You gotta be respectful. You know, when you got a guest on, but I think a lot of these guys to get too close to a player. You know, they become humans, and you kind of say, oh, you guy's a good guy, maybe you shouldn't ride him. But as a fan, I want a guy to be likable, but I'm not looking to be his friend. If the guy blows and he's not helping the team I root for, I'm sorry, I got to be critical of him. And there's no way you can tell me Wade Redden was a bad fit. He got more than a chance. As a matter of fact, they stuck with him too long, Jim. You know that.
Well,
he should have been in the press.
You know, I would say that argument is a little more valid if he wasn't a failure under two different coaches with two completely different systems. Right?
I'm laughing at Rock. He said Mitchell and a Razzie. Anyway.
All right.
Go ahead. Now,
I would put more validity in the Redden was a bad fit argument if he wasn't a complete failure under two different head coaches with two completely different systems.
Right. And his exit interview was horrible. Rick Carpinell told us that he was so mad at Redden. He said, you didn't do anything to help the players up here. You didn't do anything on the ice. And then all of a sudden he's coach and mentor down there.
Right. And you know
I do that too.
And look, you know, Mitch is around this team. He's around that team all the time. He's in the locker room. He's talking to the guys. And maybe that's absolutely true. But we know, because we heard the stories, that he was an absolute pain in the ass cancer in that locker room when he was with the Rangers. When Tortorella benched him after that miserable loss to the Islanders last season, he went ballistic on Tortorella. How dare you bench me, the great Wade Redden? He's one of the worst players in the history of this franchise, and that's saying something.
Oh,
good riddance
yeah.
to him. I wish him I hope he runs for mayor of Hartford and wins in a landslide. I hope he makes the AHL Hall of Fame. I wish nothing but the best for that man, as long as, like you said, he is never, ever in a Ranger uniform again, not even on Halloween.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's get off that subject and get on to, do we have time for phone calls? Are there any phone calls? Anybody
have
something to say?
We do have phone calls. We got about a half hour to go. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow night at 8:30 for an hour and a half. And whoever we don't, if you guys want to get in, wait till tomorrow night. That's fine, too. Let's take phone calls. First up is, 347-894. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock.
Hey, Rock. What's going on, buddy?
Good.
That comment was great.
Thank you. He is amazing. I mean, you know what it is? I've noticed about all everyone that covers the range of minor league prospects. I mean, you know, hope Jess's health, you know, we're praying for him. He's another one that really pumps up the range of prospects. And, you know, these guys are really close to the prospects. And you hit it right on the head. And sometimes they get too close that they overvalue these guys to the point where it's just ridiculous to the expectations that they have for some of these players. So I can understand where Jess is coming from. And the fact that Gratia was the only player he doesn't see making the Rangers or the NHL in the future, to me, is a little surprising.
Well, let me ask you this, Rock.
Yeah.
You saw Dale Weiss up here.
Mm-hmm.
You saw, in limited time, you've watched enough hockey. We all have watched enough pro hockey to know. It wasn't a great, breath of games that we got to see him. We saw him for, 10 games, 12 games. Did he look like he was offensively talented on the NHL level, that he had a little bit
I mean, I know he's young and he's new, but you usually can say, oh, that guy made a good move there. That was a good thought. You know, he was thinking little things.
I thought he played well his first game.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, when I said grinders, he took severe umbrage that I called him a grinder. I mean, you think Dale Weiss is a – then he called him a third liner. I mean, what's a third liner?
A grinder.
Certainly not a scorer.
A checker. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we've seen enough of Dale Weiss. I mean, the only time I've seen him, he's played well against the Flyers. Like I said, the first game that I saw him play, he took a couple of stupid penalties. I mean, that happens with a young player. Again, I think what it boils down to is they just have too many of the same type of guy. And, you know, one point that I agree with Mitch about was that they have no upper echelon talent either in Hartford or on
right,
the Rangers roster.
Right, that was a great point, yeah.
And, you know, you saw the guys that were bringing up, and they're basically all the same type of guy. All those guys are interchangeable. I mean, the only one I thought that was a little bit of a weaker player was DuPont. But everyone else that came up were serviceable. They filled a role, but they weren't overly talented. So, I don't know. I just thought that he was – when they cover these teams, and he does a great job, but they sometimes overvalue these prospects. So – I don't know. I hope every prospect on the Rangers has some kind of value, because we've had so many years. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, look at the drafts, you know, pre Gordy Clark, and especially in the first round. I mean, they've never drafted anybody, probably forwards are concerned, that have turned out to be Hall of Famers or even legitimate All Stars, especially in the first round. I mean, the only guy I can come up with at the top of my head that was a very good player was Kovalev, especially in the first round. Now, they've had better success in the second and third round, you know, Doug Weight and those type of guys. But the first round, for whatever reason, the Rangers have always had an issue drafting in the first round. So, I mean, when he brought up Jessamyn, I thought he was going to say that he thought Jessamyn was going to be an everyday NHL player. So I'm glad he stopped it where he stopped it.
Yeah, he was going for the Razzie, like you said.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But, well, the Maple Leafs have defeated the Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
Oh, go Leafs, go! Go Leafs, go!
The Leafs are doing really well. Wow. I'll tell you, I thought it was a three-team race between Buffalo, Carolina, and the Rangers. But, man, everybody else keeps winning. Nobody wants to give up. So, I don't know. I think the Rangers play Montreal Friday night. I know you guys were talking about the process, but Halpern and Platonic may not be playing. They actually called up Nigel Claus to play.
Ah!
So they may not be playing. Those two guys may not be playing Friday night. So
they called up. Did you say they called up Nigel Claus?
Yes, they called up Nigel Claus.
Great.
So.
I'm calling it now. Claus with a hat trick on Friday night.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Guys, Jimmy, did you notice that Dan Boyle came back to play the Rangers? Did you also notice that Koivu came back when he played the Rangers?
Yep.
There has to be a record this season for guys coming back from injury when it comes time to play the Rangers. I mean, it has to be. It just amazes me. It's funny every time you hear it now. But what I also wanted to mention was, did either of you guys catch the post game? I know it was on really late, the San Jose post game the other night. With Duguay and Pito.
They shut the game off on center ice as it's over. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I'm sorry, Jimmy. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, when they're at home, if they lose, they pretty much shut it off right after as soon as the game's over. If they're at home and they win, they shut it off right after the three stars of the game.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And if they're on the road, they shut the feed off right after the game's over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make with that was, I know Ron Duguay. I mean, I know they're not NHL. Neither of them, Pito, anyone really, on the Rangers analyst core that they bring in, has really any knowledge of the NHL other than, you know, that maybe that game or whatever. But he made a comment. He's talking about the game, and. He's saying, yeah, you know, it's good to have Dan Boyle back, And, you know, the Sharks' defense isn't the same, you know, especially with Blake not being in the lineup. He didn't even know that Rob Blake is retired. I mean, you're doing a game. Have some knowledge of the other team. And you guys get on Micheletti and Rosen for totally knowing every single aspect of the other team. I mean, basically knowing whatever underwear these guys are wearing. But to not know Rob Blake, and Rob Blake is a pretty substantial player, to not know that he retired in the offseason, to me, is a disgrace. I mean, have some knowledge of the other team and who's on their roster. I thought that was. I felt horrible for Dugan. I was embarrassed for him. I mean, most Ranger fans might not know Rob Blake. Most, you know, fringe fans may not know Rob Blake's not on San Jose. And maybe I'm just the one loony that knows about every player in the hockey because I do fantasy. But, I mean, come on. To not know Rob Blake retired in the offseason as an analyst, a hockey analyst, covering a team, and not the first time he screwed up and made a comment stating, oh, such a team has a horrible PK. Meanwhile, they're first in the league. I forgot what team that was. It might have been Pittsburgh. Oh, well, you know, they have a horrible penalty kill. Meanwhile, they're number one in hockey. Oh, I forgot what team it was. But, I mean, have some knowledge of the other team to understand, you know, I just killed you when they do that.
Isn't that true early in the season that they blamed the Devils' bad start for the fact that Scott Stevens was not healthy?
I would not be the least bit surprised.
It was all Claude Bilgrain's fault.
Oh, man, it's just so bad. I mean, I don't know. They just kill me. I just thought that was funny.
Boy,
I just wanted to share that. But it's ridiculous. Also, why do we need Crosby updates that he's symptom-free during a hockey game?
I
could
night.
Give a rat's ass. And I don't want Crosby to retire because I just want to boo him for the rest of my life. nor do I want to see him retire at such a young age. But why do we need to know? First of all, we're not playing Pittsburgh next. We're not playing Pittsburgh till Sunday. Why do we need to know? Why do we need to have Crosby updates every single game? And this is not the first time they've done it.
No, they've been doing it almost every game.
Every game. Why? Do you think was Pittsburgh playing Marion Gabrick updates when he had his concussion issues?
Somehow
now, granted, I know
it.
Crosby's a different animal. He's been out for a longer time. But I just don't understand that. Why do we need to know about Crosby's health issues during the game? You want to mention it a blurb at the post game when they're talking about Sunday's game against Pittsburgh? Then bring it up then. But I don't need to know during the game that Crosby's symptom-free. I don't care. I don't care about Crosby.
You know
I don't care about any
tonight,
team
Rock.
But the Rangers. I don't care about any other team but the Rangers. I don't give a shit. I don't give a crap. I don't want to interview some other players during – I don't want to hear an interview from a guy that just scored 2 goals in the second period. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear from the other team. I don't care what they have to say. I'm watching a Ranger broadcast. I want to hear about the Rangers. That's it.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I think I may have mentioned this before. They'll never mention a Ranger. Like, they'll mention a Ranger if he played in a college. Like, he's from Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, or he's from the University of Wisconsin. But they'll never say, who's going to play with the Brampton Battalion in the OHL? They're very, what's the word I'm looking for? Xenophobic? Is that the word? They'll only talk about American players. Like, that's the only one we can know what his previous, it's weird.
When JD
you
was
know,
there, he used to bring up the Canadian, because I remember Saskatoon and Regina, and he used to bring those up a lot, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you should get 2 American guys in the booth now. They probably don't know anything about Canadian schools or junior teams or whatever. But who knows?
Yeah. So, I don't know. And they're just terribly unfunny, too. They're just creepy.
They're just so uncomfortable sometimes. Did you hear Sam talking about about the money he makes?
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, when they're talking about that, that was last night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, Henrik Lundqvist is making all these saves because the Islanders are swarming the net, and these two buffoons are talking about their salaries. I don't know how much he makes. Oh, maybe as much as you, Sam. Meanwhile, I'm shitting in my fucking pants, excuse my language, because the Islanders are about to score another goal. And these two are talking money. Great.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Thanks.
I know Mick was, I like Seth Rosen. You know, I know you guys get on Sam a little too. Joe, I can understand. He just is what he is. But, you know, Sam is Sam. What are you going to do? He's been a trooper, so he's been through a lot of lean years.
Yeah, he's mailed it in. You know, he's mailed it in.
Listen,
look
at what happened to Billy Jaffe. Look at what happened to Billy Jaffe.
How many games is he going to call Tyler Bozak Ryan Bozak?
Oh, God.
I mean, come on.
Nothing was better than when he was announcing the Giants game and he called Brandon Jacobs Brandon Dubinsky. Nothing was better. All right, Rock, listen, we're going to take some other calls. Calls
all
back
right, boys.
Tonight.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night, all right? Be good. Have a good night. Good talking to you.
All right, you too.
Later.
All right, let's bring Mandar in because he's been on hold since the beginning of the show, practically. Mandar, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How's everybody?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Doing well.
The Mitch Lovin was just so wonderful. It made the world all sunshiny and nice. It's like paradise in Connecticut,
like,
in Hartford, where the
like
sun
this.
Never shines, and all there's, with the exception. I'm sorry, with the exception of Evil Broadway.
Hello, world. Here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
You cut off his.
The evil Grachev must spend time in Middle Earth for those people who are into that kind of stuff.
He's like Sauron. Yeah, the evil Grachev.
That's right. There's a new nickname. It's the evil Grachev. He has to grow a goatee now.
He's lazy. He's this. Everybody else is great.
No, not Dale Weiss, the man who comes in on the magic horse. Gets the golden skates like the wind, can outskate Paul Coffey in a single bound. The new Cam Neely, they're calling Cam Neely the old slow, not a power forward when compared to Dale the Mighty Weiss.
What about Kondratek? It's the fastest skater Mel Messier has ever seen.
It's like we said in the chat room there, you know, there was an old Sports Channel commercial years ago. Remember when Sean Burke came up and he had like a couple of good games in a row, and they tatted all the wonderful NHL stars. You got Lemieux, Gretzky, and Burke. Now,
yeah, they used to run that on Sports Channel.
They remember that? They used to run that on Sports Channel all the time. Now, the new triumvirate of the skating universe happens to be Coffey, Dennis Savard, and of course, Kondratchik. People will be reveling in the skate like the wind rushes up and down the ice, the blinding speed, the crossing over backwards over the blue line just so they could see the flash of his number on the back.
Grabby just said Gandalf the Weiss. Dale Weiss Gamgee.
Thus the poet, thus the good friend Mitch Shakespeare.
Did you catch any of that on the game that night?
Yeah, I actually saw a couple. I saw the first two periods in the airport yesterday, and it's weird because, again, you know, it's always great to see the effect of alcohol on Ranger fans, and the Islanders tied up at 2-2, and again, it's the jump off the ship, and then by the end of the period, it was, I knew we'd kick their asses. This team is a bunch of punks. So it's great to see the highs and the lows.
When it was 2-2, when the Islanders scored that second goal, you could have heard a pin drop on a carpet at Madison Square Garden last night.
Yeah, they but you know what? It's almost like about halfway through that period, I think Callahan, even before he scored, you know, he was just, you know, leading by example. He had some great shifts out there. He was noticeable. And He was around the front of the net with that great pass by Anisimov, who's been a whipping boy lately. Put it in, started the momentum going, and it took off from there, regardless of the Sean Avery factor.
Yeah, we'll get to him tomorrow night.
Yeah.
He'll be part of the negative extravaganza tomorrow night.
But they got the job done.
What's that?
They got the job done last night they needed to do. They need to take care of business at home. A lot of the games are just falling into place for them now. It's not usual that you've seen Ranger teams actually get some help from other teams. How many games ago did Buffalo have four games in hand and everybody's wondering, oh, they've got four games in hand, they're going to come back and overtake us. Meanwhile, you got to win those games. I mean, you forget that. I mean, I'd rather be ahead. You want games in hand, fine, but you got to win those. We've already got the points in the bank.
Yeah, that's always a good, you know, that's a good way to look at it, but you know how we look at it usually.
Oh, of course.
And now
but that's
only,
why you're here to enlighten us.
And now they've only got one game at hand.
Yeah, and now the Rangers, you know, if they continue to get the first and second goal, that's the key.
Right.
That's the key, is to get off to good starts, and if, you know, with the upcoming schedule, and now that you're saying Plekanec may not play for Montreal, that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, they have a couple of first line guys down. And
you
Price has looked ordinary lately, by the way, too. In his last three or four games, I think he's looked ordinary, and he's been having a phenomenal year.
And you know, Montreal plays Tampa tomorrow night. If Tampa wins that game in regulation, and the Rangers beat Montreal in regulation, they'll only be 3 points behind Montreal for the sixth spot.
All of a sudden, it looks different.
Right.
Rangers will be fighting the devil,
last
right?
few years, Montreal has had our number quite a bit. But you know what? They're on home ice. And look, ever since, you know, Biron went down, Lundqvist has stepped his game up. He's come up with the big saves when he's had to. It's insane the amount of deflection goals that have gone in over the last, you know, five games or so, much less the whole season. But you know what? He came up big in a couple of big spots yesterday when he needed to. And he's been doing it since Biron's been down. It's almost like he knows now there's no safety net. He knows it's him, and he's brought his game up to the level that we're expecting him to be at. And it's going to be even more important as they go on, because Montreal, no matter how many injuries they have, has a lot of speed that the Rangers always have issues with. So the Ranger defensemen are going to have to stand up a little bit more. And if they don't, Lundqvist is going to see a lot more pucks than he's been seeing lately.
Yeah.
He certainly played well, and you know, I hope the Rangers don't get, you know, they got six goals the other night, and we don't go back to this one goal. Like I said, I'll be at the game. Paulie D will be there with me from the Instigators show. And again, if you haven't heard, did a really good show with Barry Beck a couple weeks back. Check that out. I think it's a must for any Ranger fan that's familiar with Barry and just what a class act he is. But I think that Montreal game will be a kind of a statement game. You know, if the Rangers can say, listen, we're better than you, you know, and maybe they get that win, and like you said, it could change the whole thing. You know, so.
And then, you know, you look at the schedule, and they got Montreal and Pittsburgh this weekend. Then they got Florida and Ottawa next week. And after that, the last seven games are pretty tough. At Boston, at Buffalo, at the Islanders, at the Flyers, and then home for the Bruins, Thrashers, and Devils. So I think it's pretty important that they get some points out of these next couple of games, especially those two next week against Florida and Ottawa.
Well, that's it
yeah.
right now. The Rangers, if there's a method to playoff hockey, I think everybody realizes that it's the grind, right? You know, it's the grind out, you know, physical play, tough board work. It's not really a wide open game anymore in the playoffs, especially in the Eastern Conference. Now, what team is better suited to play that type of playoff game than the Rangers right now in the conference? Yeah, we're battling to get in, but once we're there, once we will be there, that's a team that nobody wants to play. Because Rangers have that style. Other teams have to get to that style if they're not already there. The Flyers are a grinding team, but they have the skaters. You know, Breer's not really much of a grinder, and Carter's not much of a grinder either, but they get the job done. They have a lot of talent, even without Pronger for the next couple of weeks. But I'm telling you.
They have the goalie.
Yeah, and that's, of course, that's always going to be their sticking point. And the Penguins, I don't care how quick Crosby comes back, he's not going to be the same player. No Malkin renders him ineffective, so there's no fearing really of the Penguins. The Caps still, you know, they still, no matter how much we've beaten them 15-1 in the last three games, there's always that, you know, damn, I just don't want to face these guys. There's something that makes me nervous about them. But there's no team in that conference that is head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, if we were playing in the West, yeah, we beat San Jose. I wouldn't want to play them in a seven-game series. Same thing with the Ducks. We don't match up well. And they can grind it out and beat us at our own game. But I don't see anybody beating us at our own game in the playoffs easily. You know, whether what happens, it's going to be a grind and a battle. There's no four-game sweep in any Rangers series that they get to the playoffs with.
I agree.
Yeah. I agree. We find ourselves in agreement.
It's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful. And not only that, it, you know, when you promoted Paulie D's show there, I think you got Eric all happy now.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Eric thinks that I don't promote Paulie D's show because I don't show up every time Paulie D has a show. I have a wife. I listen to Paulie D's shows on podcasts. Do not have to show up live. I'm glad that Paulie shows up in a chat room. He's a nice guy. I'm going to be meeting with him. I'm going to be going to a hockey game with him, Cutter. So please, do not feel that you have to defend Paulie D's honor. Paulie D is an honorable man. I'm an honorable man. We're friends. Stick out of it, you third wheel. You can't have Paulie D. He's mine, see?
Lay off of Paulie D and lay off of his show, you see? He gets plenty of support,
Shut
up. Now, not only that, Jazz, I mean, little Eric made a comment in the chat room. He did his playoff predictions, and he predicted that the Leafs would come in ace. At that point, I made my second direct challenge to the little man. And I said, come on. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Let's put something on your Leafs eighth place wager. Now, he's ignoring me in the chat room, which is probably the mature move. I'll give him props for that. But I threw the gauntlet down, and he refuses to answer the challenge. I said, let's put something on this eighth place, you know, prediction for him for the Leafs. And he refuses to pick up the gauntlet, so he is now officially a coward and has no courage.
Wow.
See, I have a platform to say it now because he won't answer me in the chat room. So that's just fine. I'll take another immature way out.
Oh, God. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy night tonight. I got to tell you, what a show. What a show. Check back.
Oh, and by the way, I gotta give props to Chris, our buddy over in the UK, because he saw the picture of my car on Facebook, and he says, gee, Jim, I'm glad you're okay, but it looks like you got hit
from the side!
Which was absolutely true. I got hit from the side. And I told him, I said, you're absolutely right, I got geononed.
You got geononed. That usually means bored to death. it's gonna be interesting, and I'm feeling good about the Rangers. Where do you? I know you, Mandar. You're pulling it back. You're blowing some sunshine up our arses tonight about how good it's gonna be. Jimmy, you feeling good? Are you about to make one of your we're gonna win out predictions like you did last year?
No, I'm not there yet. You know, they still struggle with the Floridas and the teams like that. You know, they're just as capable of beating Montreal at home on Friday night 7-0 as they are losing to Florida on Tuesday night 5-0. I want to see them get through this weekend, and then, you know, if they play well this weekend and keep it going, then maybe we'll have some bold predictions next week. We'll see. 6-4
really
in the last 10. I want to see him get. I want to see him really get rolling here. You know, they're kind of, you know, two steps forward, half a step back, and then another half step, and then, you know, they're kind of. I want to see him really get rolling.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with you there, and I really think that Montreal game is going to be the jumping off point. I don't know why. I just feel like if they win that game convincingly, I'm feeling good. But, you know, it's always a roller coaster. It's always, you know, the pendulum is going to swing the other way, ready to decapitate us. So, but you hope that I don't know why I'm looking particularly at that game, just I guess since they've had difficulty beating them.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I know that, you know, they're a small team. They're a somewhat skilled. They have skill, but they don't have any. I don't know.
They get the puck up ice fast. That's the Rangers' biggest problem. If you look at the teams that do that, the Tampa Bay, Montreal, the Flyers, at least early in the season, those are the teams the Rangers have trouble with. Teams that can move the puck fast, quick up the ice. Those are the teams the Rangers struggle against.
Wow. And I think tomorrow night we got a bunch load of stuff to talk about. We'll talk about the ticket prices. We'll talk about the Avery. You know, if he's going to be benched, how he's been treated. You know, the fact that if Henrik Lundqvist goes down, not season is over. So, according to Mitch Beck, that was another guy he didn't like. Was Chance Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson.
Was really good.
Yeah.
He's really bad. That gave me a lot of comfort. I mean,
Cam Talbot's got his name half etched on the Vezina, though. There's a Vezina somewhere in a closet with Cam Talbot's name on it. And we all know Cam Talbot's a jerk.
He's responsible for a couple of losses there, by the way.
Right, he certainly is. So, we'll see you guys tomorrow night about 8:30. At 8:30, we'll talk about a little bit more about the viewing parties, a couple of things we want to tell you guys about for that. And you know what? He's been holding for a while. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys.
Bring you on. Sorry to keep you holding for so long.
It's okay. I was just listening. I was enjoying the show.
Yes.
Hey, somebody was at the store yesterday who listens to you guys. I hope he called in. He's from Hawaii.
Anti-Woot? So,
what?
Was it the Anti-Woot?
No, it wasn't. I don't remember what his name is. He's got an 808 area code. I don't know if he called.
I can't recall. Well, I know Anti-Woot's from Hawaii, but now he's living back in the States, so he can't. So he has a hard time catching us live anymore. But
no, this would be somebody else. He was at the store, and I was helping him, and he said he recognized my voice, asked me if I listened to Blue Shirt Banner, and I told him who I was. And he says he doesn't have a username. He always listens to the podcast. He always has a great time listening to the show, and I guess he forgot to call in tonight.
Oh. Well, to our friend in Hawaii who was in the States and recognized Zach's voice, we salute you. Mele Kaliki Maka. And aloha.
Currently staying in Long Island right now. I want to wish a happy St. Patrick's Day to all my Irish brethren out there. I know I'm going to be pressing green and drinking a lot.
Yeah, it's a holiday when you get older. It's like
Okay, so you're gonna be drinking a lot tomorrow. So why is that different than like most of the other days?
Because the other days I'm not dressed in green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a green Ranger shirt?
I do. I'm actually wearing one of my green Ranger shirts right now. I've got three green Ranger shirts. One of them I got at the store last week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like a darker green, but it's all good. Sorry I won't be at your viewing party next weekend, but I will definitely.
No worries, you're going to the game. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. All right, we're off the air. Sorry. Go ahead.
So I'll definitely call in when I'm at a bar just before I go to the game. I mean, I'll get there your show is starting at noon, right?
11:30.
All right, I'll call in like around noon. I'm just exhausted right now. I'm almost home. I just wanted to say hi and go Rangers.
Yeah, that's the same thing I want to say.
I was actually
Eddie, remember that Friday's game
with my what?
Never mind. Go ahead, finish.
I was at Friday's game between the Bruins and the Islanders. I was with my friends from Boston. I'm in my Ranger jersey and rooting for the Bruins. And let me tell you, those Islander fans are a bunch of idiots now. They don't care about playoffs anymore. They think that playoffs are overrated. And
funny.
That goal song that they have, oh, my God, I just wanted to, like, gouge my – I wanted to, like – I don't know. It was just so terrible. And, you know, somebody told me that Islander fans hate it, yet whenever they score, it was the four goals that they scored, I see everybody dancing to it.
You mean this thing?
No, that was for the Flyers.
Oh, that's the Islanders.
That's the one.
No, yeah,
that's for the Flyers. The Islanders have the na-na-na-na, woo! You know, that's crap.
Oh, Rock and Roll Part 2?
Whatever.
Gary Glitter?
No, they...
I got that off the Islanders' website or something like that. Their goals?
That's what they used.
Yeah.
That's what they used to play.
No,
the Flyers have that now, so they moved on to something new.
Oh.
Yeah, you're better off not hearing it. It's pretty bad.
Nothing's better than our goal song.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Trying to think what else they dropped. Some of the Dropkick Murphys were at the store last week.
The guy that plowed into my car today was wearing a Dropkick Murphys basketball jersey.
The guy who ran into your car was wearing that? The
guy who Gianoned me, yeah.
I haven't seen Gianoned in a while. When I was at the Minnesota Wild game, I spoke to him, and he said he's only there Mondays and Wednesdays now, and I'm only there Tuesdays, Thursdays. But he remembers me. He likes saying hi to me, so that's always good.
He's a fag. All right.
All right, fellas. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8:30.
Have a good night, guys.
Like old Sunday nights at MSG.
Oh,
yeah.
Blast.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.